Our spiritual diet. What does it sound like? Well, people might not be thinking much about their eternal destiny. A lot of people don't care about their souls, don't want to think of dying. I've spoken with people that don't like to live close to cemeteries. I once was asked, we had in Seminole, Texas, we had a cemetery, was actually just across the street from us. And someone asked me once, said, aren't you a little, you know, scared and fearful, especially at night when you, I said, no, I love to go for walks there. Said, those are very peaceful neighbors. And they remind me that one day I might be there too. Maybe not at that place, but in a similar place. But people are sure getting better educated about their physical diets. We have nutritional information today that is available by the ton loads, I would say, on the internet through books. You go to any bookstore, you can find diet books over and over and over. And every diet book looks very interesting. And people claim, and they put pictures on, this is what I was. Big, fat, 300 pounds or whatever. And now I am slim. And I have so much energy. I have a new lease on life. And it's part of the advertising industry. Diet and nutrition are two of the hottest topics around the world. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. And in the schools, in the public schools, they have already taken out some of the soda drinks, and they want children to eat nutritious food. And they tried to do this in some schools, and the kids wouldn't eat. And I always ask, why does all the food that tastes so good is so bad for you? But that's our natural life. We are now in the know about nutrition, about our physical being. There's so much information out there, and yet, in North America, especially America, are the fattest people. They are overfed and undernourished. I want you to keep this in mind when we talk spiritually about this. Overfed and undernourished. Okay? So energy levels, emotional stability, clarity of thought can dramatically affect or be affected by what we eat physically. How our diet is. And I've experienced personally. If you have the discipline, and that's always if you have the discipline, and you can go on a diet that is good for you, you feel much better. But what about nurturing our spiritual being? The Bible says that physical exercise or physical nutrition, I would like to add that, profits little. It does profit. And I like to exercise too, because when I exercise, I feel a lot better. But the discipline to actually go and do it, that's almost like a spiritual battle at times, right? We need more than a mere spiritually or physical balanced diet to be totally healthy. I'm not here today to talk to you about the physical benefits of diet and exercise. I'm here to talk to you about our spiritual diet. That is more important than anything else. This is what separates us from the animal kingdom. We are different than the animals. Although some people would like to get us down to the level of monkeys, but they're not very successful. I don't believe that. But just as vibrant health and growth in the physical realm are critical for a proper well-balanced diet, so we as spiritual beings should have a good spiritual diet. And let's read out of Isaiah 55 again, the first two verses. Isaiah 55, verse 1 and 2. Come, or in the New King James Version, it says, ho. Pay attention. Come, all you are thirsty, who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine, milk, without money and without cost. In other words, it's all paid for. The buffet table is there. Why spend money on what is not bread? I would like to translate that. Why spend money on junk food? And your labor on what does not satisfy? To be overfed and undernourished? Listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest of fare. You see, only Jesus Christ can satisfy our spiritual longings. It doesn't matter what kind of religion people have. It doesn't matter where they seek the satisfaction of their souls. But in the end, deep down, this health that every spirit needs can only be given through and by a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There's a general theme in the scriptures that salvation through Jesus Christ satisfies our spiritual longing, that we can then have living waters or the wine, like it says in our text, the milk, the bread. I guess these are the four groups of food spiritually: water, wine, milk, and bread. These words refer to an important spiritual principle from which no one is exempt. We cannot say, well, I don't need it. I don't need a spiritual food. But just as physical problems result in improper diet or result from improper diet and vitamin deficiencies, spiritual problems often result from being spiritually undernourished. That we can feed our minds and our souls with the wrong stuff. We may be overfed. We may have so much information about the Bible and so much information about religion that in the process, our spiritual lives are still hungry and undernourished. And I hope I can make this clear to you this morning. You can sit in church Sunday after Sunday, week after week, year after year, and still be undernourished. You can sit under the best messages. You can hear the best of the best. But if you don't properly enter the commitment or use the principle of feeding yourself spiritually, you will remain undernourished. And here's the tragedy. The Bible, actually it's not the Bible, but there is a saying that says this: you are what you eat. And that is also true in the spiritual realm. You and I are what we receive spiritually from the Lord. In believing, Because our belief is a state of life that when we deny ourselves the spiritual food that we need, then we will also have problems, and it will cause us problems in our spiritual life. It is a very big tragedy when Christians are spiritually sick. And we live in a time where many Christians are languishing spiritually. They're just withering away. Their faith is almost non-existent. It has gone down to just a existence instead of a vibrant life full of energy and joy because of malnutrition. And this explains why, how much the joyless, semi-depressed, and unfruitful living among many believers are just existing. The malnutrition is also the root cause, I believe, behind the high divorce rate among confessing Christians. Because they haven't fed on the Word of God. Because husband and wife have not focused on the Bible, on Christ. Their marriage slowly fell apart. They were not nurtured. Loved ones, our marriages need to be nurtured. You need to put in good vitamins in your marriage relationship, or it will not last. You will start being malnourished. How can a church make a positive impact? We as a church. A positive impact on the community, on the society as a whole, if we can't even get together to really pray together. There's this old saying, the family that prays together stays together. The same with the church, no different. The church that prays together, lifting up each other's needs, supporting one another in prayer, asking, brother or sister, how can I pray for you? And then pray for that brother or sister. And I'm very glad to see that we are making progress in this, that we can do this more, that in our prayer meetings that they are becoming better attended. But we're not where we should be yet, I believe, as a church. We should be a lot more in prayer meetings. And I'm sorry to say this again. I hope I don't offend you. But this is our strength and vitality. That's our life. That's what nurtures us spiritually. That's what keeps us together. That keeps the unity together. Because we care about one another and pray for one another. You see, if we are undernourished and we become spiritually weak, we can become prey to our enemy. Is it any wonder why many Christians are spiritually sluggish and easy prey for Satan's attacks? You see, the practice of private prayer and even collective prayer as a church has dropped to an all-time low in Christendom in our day and time. In most churches, prayer is almost, or prayer meetings is almost non-existent. That is tragic. But God clearly promises us, He satisfies, He says in Psalm 107, verse 9, He satisfies the thirsty and He fills the hungry with good things. But what does the thirsty person and the hungry person has to do? If you are thirsty and hungry, what do? You expect someone, your wife or your husband or someone, to come and spoon feed you? Aren't you looking after food? If there's no food at home, what do? You either go buy food and make some meal, or you go to a restaurant and eat to your heart's desire. Because the hungry has a desire and will do everything he or she can to get satisfied. And this is what the Lord says. He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. But the hungry soul has to want it. God can only offer it to us. He has set the buffet table for you and me to get spiritually fully satisfied. But if we don't go and eat, if we don't go to the table, if we don't go and drink, He cannot help us. We have to want it. Our natural bodies know the satisfaction and delight of eating a good meal, but what happens to our inner person that has no interest in steak and potatoes? You see, our soul, our heart should desire not only milk, not only baby food spiritually, not only to be spoon-fed. You know, sometimes I feel like some Christians are like little babies. You know, you have to spoon feed them, and you have to use baby food, and you spoon feed them, and you spoon feed them, and then one day they just spray it all into your face back. Have you experienced that as a baby? You know, babies? Yes. No, we need to desire steak and potatoes when it comes to spiritual being, because that will give us strength. We need that spiritual protein that comes from the blood of Jesus Christ to have strong spiritual souls, hearts, and commitments that God can use us. You see, our spiritual man can only be nourished when we partake of God's word and receive the refreshing that comes from His Holy Spirit. I said this morning in our German service that Satan will shoot fiery darts at us through our thoughts. And if you and I are not spiritually healthy, if we're not watching carefully, he will plant negative thoughts in your mind that will start to poison your spiritual life. And I asked the question, how can we quench those darts? How can we cleanse our thoughts? We say, well, I can't cleanse my thoughts. Yes, we can do something. We go to the buffet table of the Lord, and we take this high antioxidant, what we call the Word of God, and it cleanses our thoughts. I guarantee you, if you read the Scriptures, if you read a chapter, at least a chapter every single day, and you read it out loud, that Satan can hear it too, because he can't hear your thoughts, but he can hear your voice. It will cleanse your thoughts. It will nurture your spiritual life. In Psalm 63, verse 5, the psalmist says, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. See, that's out of a healthy spiritual life. When you are nurtured, when you are well taken care of, when you have the spiritual nutrition, the spiritual diet that is healthy, you will start praising the Lord with a clean, clear mind and clean heart and just sing praises to Him. You will have no problem doing that. You will have that new song back, this song of joy in the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord becomes your daily protein that you need to keep on going. And that's my encouragement to you. You know, some people, they rave about gourmet meals and pay tribute to the chef who prepared it. And it's astounding how many professional chefs can create these wonderful meals. One reason sometimes I don't like to watch a food channel is, I said, it makes my mouth water too much. It makes me too hungry. I just want to go and eat this good food that I see. But that should be spiritually the same with us. We should desire the richest of food spiritually. And I hope that yesterday, in those 6 hours that we had together in the German class, that spiritual food was received. And we went pretty deep in some of the subjects. And I hope that's what you would desire. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Bible invites us to taste how good the Lord is. How good the Lord is to your soul. How he wants to bless you. How he wants to help you. How he wants to just spread his goodness all over your life. What a shame that many Christians get more excited about sports, football, hockey games, or ocean cruises than Jesus Christ and heaven and the life of Christ, the joy of the Lord. Let's not lose our focus. Let's not get spiritually malnourished. And if you are spiritually malnourished, get on a proper spiritual diet today. Because God wants us to grow into spiritual maturity. Some say maturity. Both are right, I guess. God has nutritional guidelines for us in his word. Listen to 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk. We need to have a craving for pure spiritual milk, for the real thing, not something fake, not something stirred up with powder and all that artificial stuff, but the real thing. Crave the pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. That's the goal, to grow up to maturity. Many pastors know the frustration of trying to help people who claim to have been Christians for many years and yet have the maturity of toddlers. Can you imagine, as adults, as a 40, 50-year-old man sitting in a high chair and having a big bib on and being spoon-fed, or having a bottle, having a sucker? That's unimaginable. We say that's not normal. That person, if there is someone that it has to be spoon-fed who is a big person, there's something wrong with that person. That person is sick. But spiritually, we say, well, that's okay. They are weak. They are behind. They are... No, it's not okay. We need to grow up spiritually. No more diapers, no more bottles, no more pacifiers, but meat and potatoes and strong muscles for the Lord. That's what we need to maturity. No more childish things, Paul says. When I was a child, I did childish things. When I grew up, I put away childish things. And loved ones, we need to come to the point where we put away childish things and we go after the big things, the real things, the things where we are in awe and wonder of the greatness of God, the goodness that he has for us, and how we can grow spiritually to become more like Christ. I didn't plan to say all that today, but it seemed the Lord just gave me these thoughts. What happens when we don't maintain our spiritual diet? When we stop drinking that pure spiritual milk, or get off the bottle, or if we never get off the bottle, what happens? We just stay behind. And we get easily irritated. We get easily sidetracked. We get easily, you know, something comes up and we stop attending church. We stop participating in the church. We just withdraw because we're not mature. We hear something, just a word of gossip, and it throws us off balance and we can't seem to get over it. That means that we haven't been growing in maturity. Now, Paul says to the Corinthians, and he had to teach the Corinthians to think of being more mature. When we read the first letter to the Corinthians, we notice that this church was very immature. They had divisions among them. They had all kinds of things going on among them. One brother had taken the other to court, and there was a brother that actually lived with his father's wife or concubine, and all kinds of things that went on. They misused the communion. They misused the gifts of tongues. They did all kinds of things that spelled out to Paul, immature, immature, yet Paul called them saints. And he says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 2, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. And he talks about their spiritual level of maturity. He says, you are like a bunch of toddlers. You should be mature by now. Now in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, and this is for me and you, it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. The protein, the strong meat of grace. You and I need to be, as New Testament believers, we need to be people of grace. We need to have grace. We need to be graceful. Gracious. Have you ever thought about that? I need to be gracious. And gracious means that I am very grateful, first of all. And gracious also means that I have grace in Christ, that I don't have to be thrown to and fro by all winds of doctrine. You know, this teaching comes up and I fall for it. And then this teaching comes up and I get disappointed and I have to go from one to the other. Know that we get solid in the Word of God, rooted and grounded. We have a solid foundation. I will not be shaken by any small thing. That needs to be the level of maturity we reach. God's grace comes in different forms and through various channels, but the truth remains the same. When we neglect such things as Bible reading and prayer on a regular basis, worship attendance and fellowship with other believers, if we neglect those, problems of one kind or another will start to overwhelm us, I guarantee you. And it will start to follow us night and day, and we will notice that our spiritual diet is not what it should be. To grow into spiritual maturity, someone said, we need to be conscious every day of the needs of our inner man and the scriptural reminder that it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. And that's where we often come in and we confuse. We say, well, you know, I need all kinds of spiritual nourishment, so I will seek it outside the church and outside the Bible, and I will just taste this here and taste this there. This is a good thought. Oh, this man had a really good thought, and this man had a really good thought. And at the end of the day, we get so confused that we haven't really received spiritual nourishment. All it was junk food. Beware of spiritual junk food, brothers and sisters. Because no one is more aware of spiritual junk food than Satan, and he will try to feed us with all kinds of things that sound good, but they don't feed our souls. They don't feed our hearts. They don't give us more grace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, and Satan knows too well too, that we are called into fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we know that not everyone is a pastor, teacher, or missionary, but all of us have been called to derive our spiritual strength from the daily life and fellowship with Jesus Christ. We shouldn't wait until Sunday, until we are spiritually fed in the church through the message. We should feed ourselves. We should learn to feed ourselves every day on the Word of God because the buffet table is open Monday through Saturday every week, not just on Sundays. This is why the Bible tells us here in our text, let me go back to it. Come and eat. Come to the waters. You who have no money. In other words, there are no conditions. You don't have to measure up first to be fed spiritually. It's all grace. Why spend money on what is not bread? Why waste your time on spiritual junk food? Why labor on what does not satisfy? Why doing things and spinning your wheels like a hamster in a cage when you don't make any progress? And if you have been doing that, something that's over and over and over and expecting different results, which is the definition of insanity, and if you have been doing that, stop doing it. Ask God for direction. Ask God, seek Him in His Word. Seek Him in prayer and ask Him to give you the pure milk, the pure steak and potatoes, that God would help you to become strong and mature in Him. Listen to me, he says here, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. And this is my prayer for myself and for all of us. You see, maybe Satan has trying to block you from receiving the grace of God. And if so, don't believe the lie. Don't believe the lie that you're not worthy, that God is not going to give you a good spiritual health. Don't believe it. God is saying here, come and get it. It's all there. Let's taste and see how good the Lord is. In Psalm 22, verse 26, it says, the poor will eat and be satisfied. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For they shall be satisfied. Let us remember that. May God bless you in your spiritual diet, that we would all become stronger in Christ. Amen.